pray, shall we? Hallelujah. Thank you, God, for today. I thank you, Lord, each and every day that we wake up and we open our eyes and fill our lungs with breath. This truly is the day that the Lord has made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. I thank you for everything that comes our way today, God. The good, the bad, and the ugly. Because we know, Lord, that you are in all of it. And so, God, I just pray, Lord, that we have the eyes to see you, the faith to trust you, and the hope for things eternal. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. So not to share too much from our personal life, but we've had a whirlwind of a couple of weeks. And just to catch you up a little bit, because our story, very similar to Gloria's, has very much to do with my message today. I waited and waited and waited this week to decide what I was going to preach on, and I really felt like God said, you need to preach on trust. How to trust the Lord when things don't look the way you want them to look. And so a couple of weeks ago, Cameron was in a soccer tournament, full-day soccer tournament, and she had been having pain in her right side for a while, but because she's an athlete, we kind of just figured she pulled a muscle or strained something or whatever, you know, and my go-to answer is always like, are you hydrated? Drink some water, right? Water solves a whole lot of ills, okay? Are you hydrated? Anyway, so we were in the soccer, she was in the soccer tournament, and in the second or third game of the day, I can't remember now, she was waving to the coach, I could see her. And I'm like, oh, she wants to be called out, she wants to be called out. And she got to the sideline, and she was holding ice on her side. And it's not like Cameron. If you know Cameron, she's a beast when it comes to the soccer field. She could be injured, kicked in the head, tripped, whatever, bleeding. She won't get called out. She doesn't want to get called out. She loves that game. And so we knew that something was up. And so we talked to her midway through, and she said, well, I want to play the next game. I think I can do it. It feels better now. And she went, she played the last game of the day. And we said, well, we'll have to call the doctor next week and find out, because this isn't normal for you. So on Monday, we had our good friend Ginger Azel come over early in the morning, and we went for a short little hike up Blood Hill here in Ashby, because we wanted to show Ginger our mountain in Ashby, not Wataytic. I mean, Blood Hill's all in Ashby. Ginger actually does all the 4,000 footers, so for her, it was like nothing up and down. But Cameron, halfway down, coming down the hill, was holding her side. So I texted him midway. I said, call the doctor right now. This is not normal. So we got an appointment for the next morning. We brought her in, and they asked her all kinds of questions, put her on the examination table, and you could see this lump coming out of her stomach. And she goes, I thought that was normal. My Cameron, that's not normal. So they immediately had her in for an ultrasound the next morning, and the ultrasound revealed that she had a mass. They said probably an ovarian cyst. That's all they told us at that time. You should go see a GYN for a consult. So we went in Friday for the consult. The woman came in, sat down, and looked at us and said, it's 19 centimeters. She's a little thing, too. I don't know where she hid it all that time. But so they immediately took blood work and scheduled her for a CAT scan the next day because they were concerned that it might be cancerous. That's one of the things, you know, check your blood. And so she had the CAT scan, and then we had another appointment Monday to find out what the next course of action would be, and that was to have surgery. So we scheduled it in Gardner. And the whole time, Tom and I were very uncomfortable with the whole thing, just in our spirits, because she was going to Joshua Generation. She left that day for the missions trip. And so the next day, I called the doctor. I can't remember. Oh, we tried to move up the surgery. I didn't feel comfortable waiting the 2 weeks for it. So he came in and said, well, you know, meanwhile, maybe we have some time to look at somebody else. My brother knows somebody. His girlfriend had surgery with somebody in Boston. And I believe that God truly opened all of these doors, like you were talking about. If it means seeing somebody else, walk it out. We just kept doing walking along the process that God opened up and made available to us. And so we called this doctor, but they didn't take our insurance. So Tom got on the phone with the insurance, and if anybody that knows MassHealth, this takes forever. You might as well get a visa, travel around the world, and come back before they answer you on the phone. So he got right to the right person that said, let me take care of that, let's switch her insurance, let's get her in there. They switched her insurance that day. It was available in 2 days. We got her in. Then we called the doctor, oh, he doesn't normally take these kind of things because it's probably not cancerous. He's an oncologist. But I tell you what. And then I heard, oh, hang on a second. Yeah? Oh, that's the nurse. He says he'll see her. So we went in on Thursday. And I'm going to pause there, okay? This is an ongoing story. And I want to couple it with the message for today. And I will, it's 11 o'clock. I hope to be done before 11:30. I should be, okay? So I hope you're, is everybody good? All right. I think this message is important. I believe that God allows us to go through things. I love you guys. I do. I don't know why I just said that. I just really do. I appreciate you and love you. Because he wants us to be able to minister to other people. He wants us to be able to reveal his truths through what we go through. You know, if I, as your pastor, in a challenge with whether or not I can trust God, if I fail, what does that do for you? So I knew that I had to keep praying. Praying, God, you got to help me this. You know, when it's me, I'm okay. Whatever issues I got going on, I'm good. But you touch my kid, right? The lioness comes out. You just want to, like, you want to do battle with whoever wants to take out your kid. So I really believe, like I said, I wanted to preach on trust because this has been a journey of trusting God each and every step of the way and encouraging Cameron in her young walk of faith to be able to trust God, that in all things God works to the good of those who love him. And so when I was searching the Bible, God's truth, God's will for our lives, this precious book, when I was searching for scripture on trust, I was right back to Romans. Now, I hope you're not too weary on Romans because we spent 16 weeks in it this year. But this one particular line, when I read it, I felt like it was perfect for this situation. It's one verse, but in this one verse is so much truth, so much meat, that I am going to take the verse and explain it word by word by word. And I hope it fills your spirit. It's Romans 15, verse 13. May the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace as you trust in him, so that you may overflow with hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. May. One word. It's so simple, isn't it? May. The God of hope. This is a prayer that Paul has for the Roman church, and it's a prayer that he has for all of us. No one's going to force you to allow God to fill you with hope. Right? The Holy Spirit. God is a gentleman. May I, when we are requesting something, appearance, may I have a cookie? May I? We're asking for permission and allowance in our lives. May the God of hope. Can he? Yes. Will he? Yes. But it is up to us to receive. May. The God of hope. God. You know what? Who is your God? Oftentimes we say, depending on what you're going through, the trial, the whatever temptation that you're going through, the things that we go through reveal who your God is. Who you turn to when you're in a time of desperation reveals who God is. But the truth of the matter is, who your God is in times of joy and fulfillment and peace says a whole lot more about who your God is than who you turn to in a time of desperation. It's the same side, two sides of the same coin. We often find ourselves on our knees praying to God, whoever he may be, when in times of trial. But in times of rejoicing, that is who reveals who your God is. So who is your God? David wrote in Psalm 31, he says in verse 14, but I trust in you, O Lord. I say, you are my God. And if you understand the context of Psalm 31, he was up against it. People wanted to kill him. He was running for his life. His enemies are all around him. And in that time, he says, I trust in you, O Lord. I say you are my God. We trust in God alone, Jehovah, Yahweh, the God of the Old and the New Testament, the God revealed in Christ Jesus, the God that comes alongside of us in the power of the Holy Spirit. That is our God. We trust in God alone. Psalm 20, verse 7 says, some trust in chariots, some in horses, but we trust in the name of the Lord our God. We cannot trust in money. We cannot trust in position. We cannot trust in anything but the Lord. Because when all else fails around us, it is he who is faithful. He alone is faithful. May the God of hope, hope. It's an integral part of God's character, the God of hope. So what is hope? Renee's sign-off on Oliver Metz's is H-O-P-E, capitals. Having only positive expectations. Do I have it right? Having only positive expectations. If you were to look up the definition of hope in the dictionary, it would say a feeling of expectation and desire for a certain thing to happen. I hope it doesn't rain. I hope he likes me. I hope somebody will clean the kitchen today. There's a lot of things that we hope for. But that's in the context of the world, right? It's kind of an empty, kind of nebulous hoping thing. Hope things happen. Another one says a feeling of trust. Of trust. It's probably the closest thing to Scripture. We don't put our faith, though, in man's definitions of what hope is, right? If we turn to Scripture, it means a strong and confident expectation. When we hope, the God of hope, it's because we know who his character is. We can call on his name. We know that he's faithful. Hebrews 11, 1 says, now faith is the assurance, say assurance, of things hoped for, the conviction, say it, of things not seen. It's so much more than this willy-nilly hoping and fantasizing about things. It's because we know who God is. It's the assurance. We stand assured that God has us. I'm really loud. Layton, could you do me a favor and just it's even turned away from me. Turn the gain down on, I think this is line 12. Sorry, buddy. Because I get going and I just. Am I still really loud? All right. The God of hope fill you. God is all sufficient, right? When we want to be filled up with something, we want to be filled up with God, the power of the Holy Spirit. He fills us to overflowing. 2 Corinthians 12:9 says, but he said to me, my grace is sufficient for you. His grace is sufficient for my power is made perfect in weakness. When we struggle, when we're going through something, that is where God's power is revealed in our lives. It's hard to give glory to God when everything's good, right? Ooh, because I'm so fabulous. Look at my life is going good. I got it all under control. But I tell you what, when we are broken, when we're in a point of weakness, that's when God steps in and he goes, my power is made perfect in your weakness. I am with you. I am the God that you need to give glory to, not for yourself. That his grace is sufficient for you. You know, when Paul used this scripture, he was talking about the thorn in his side. He had something going on in his life that was constantly a struggle for him. But he knew that God worked it all out regardless of what was going on in his body. So if you have a physical ailment, that God's grace is sufficient regardless of what we feel like in our human flesh. He fills us with joy and peace. Joy and peace. And he connects them together in there. They're two sides of the same coin. Joy is not happiness. You know what? If I had my choice right now, I would not be bringing my daughter in for surgery on Thursday. I'm not happy about that. My circumstances aren't making me happy, but I have joy. Why? Because I know that God has it all worked out. every step along the way, I can rejoice in who God is and his plan in this because I know he's got it worked out. And that I can have peace, shalom, a peace that passes all understanding is what we're told in the Bible. Elsewhere, Paul makes the same connection, and I want you to hear it. Maybe you've heard this scripture before, but I hear the relationship between joy and peace. This is Philippians 4, 4 through 7. Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I will say, rejoice. Let your reasonableness be known to everyone. The Lord is at hand. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be known to God, and the peace of God. See how we rejoice in him and pray with thanksgiving, and the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. As a mama, I need peace. But it only comes when I know that I'm praying, rejoicing in the end. I'm going to rejoice that the end is in God's hand. In Daniel, the book of Daniel, we hear about how he was thrown into the lion's pit just for praying. In verse 23, it says, the king was overjoyed. This is the morning after, right? And gave orders to lift Daniel out of the den. And when Daniel was lifted from the den, no wound was found on him. Why? Because he trusted in his God. When you're in the lion's pit, you need to know who you have your trust in. We need to trust in God, not in chariots, not in horses, but in God. So he fills us with joy and peace. The next line says, as you trust in him. As you trust in him. This is a progressive work. I have walked too far with God to deny his healing power, his love for me, his mercy, his grace. But I didn't always trust in him. My journey, my faith walk, your journey, your faith walk, that's what develops trust. Think about, like, if you have a strong marriage, right? You develop a relationship with that person where you trust them no matter what. But it comes from sharing circumstances and experiences and communication and heart talks. It doesn't come just from meeting him and I go, the first time I met Tom, I trust him. No matter what. Well, we'd like to. Sometimes in faith we trust people. But that trust, a trust that is secure in all things, comes with a relationship that's developed over time. And so it is with our God. We develop a relationship with him so that through our experiences and through recognizing, like in testimonies like Gloria, we share in a trust that is unshakable. Because of the depth of our relationship. Proverbs 3, verses 5 through 6. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and do not lean on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge him and he will make your path straight. You know, the story that I was talking about walking all of these steps, we had to trust in God. I'm not going to lean on my own. I have any idea why this is going on in our lives or in Cameron's life specifically, but I know the God that I trust. And I'm not going to lean on my limited mind, but lean on the Lord and trust in him because he is making our path straight. He is in opening up all those doors so that in meeting with this surgeon, part two, is that we sat with this gentleman on Thursday, the person that really we shouldn't be able to see and our insurance shouldn't be able to pay for and all of these things in the normal course of events. And we sat with this man and we felt so calm, so peaceful, so assured
that this was exactly where Cameron was supposed to be. And we found out more information about her situation that had we stopped with the first result, she would be in trouble. We needed to go to this next step. We needed to follow along what God had allowed in our lives to move forward. Cameron has been at Joshua Generation this week. And one of the questions I asked her on the way back before dropping her back off on Thursday after we visited with a doctor and had all these tests and everything, I said, tell me a spiritual thing that's happened with you this week. Because I know the environment that she's in. They're praying all the time. They're worshiping morning, noon, and night. They're constantly focused on serving the Lord and reaching the lost. They are in a breeding ground for missionaries. It's hard for me to explain it. It's just a beautiful, it's a boot camp for missionaries. And so I said, give me something that's happened spiritually. And she said, well, everybody's been praying for me. Everybody wants to pray over me, and they want to see me healed. You know what? And I've been believing for that, too. I'm going to tell you, I keep praying, God, you know, if you can heal her, I know you will. Okay? If. Of course he can. Okay? But I know that sometimes God does not heal the way that we expect. And so she's got all these young, faith-filled kids praying all over her, okay? and they expect her, they want to see this lump just disappear, you know? They're just in faith, they're believing that this is going to happen. And she said, Mom, I just wanted to pray that I would have peace, that I would just know that God is in control, that I wouldn't worry about anything. That was her prayer. She goes, because maybe he's not going to heal this part right now through this way, you know, and I don't understand, but she wanted peace. And so somebody had come over to pray over her, and she was just praying for peace. And she said, Mom, I just felt like this wash came over me. And she felt God's peace completely just envelop her so that she started to bawl, and she was crying, and her friend came over and said, are you okay? Are you okay? And she said, this is not sad tears. This is good tears. And she said she felt like she closed her eyes, and she said, I saw, she couldn't really tell what it was. It was a white, she goes, I wasn't sure if it was like a wing or a hand coming down. And she just really felt the Lord's hand upon her life. So she has peace with everything. God answers prayer. He answers prayer. He makes straight our paths, but we have to trust first. So the next part of that verse says, so that. We trust in him so that. Why? There's a reason, right? May the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace as you trust in him so that. It's not always about us. Does that make sense? It's not always about us. Sometimes we go through things for other people. I think Cameron is going to testify to these kids about what God has done in her spirit. And not only, she had no idea of what had happened with all the things with the doctors that made a way for her to be able to be in that right place at the right time on Thursday. All of that was orchestrated without her knowledge because we don't have communication with her while she's away. I said, God is already answering your prayer, Cameron, and their prayer for healing. God works through doctors and surgeons and medicine. Amen? He is the giver of the gifts. It's not always about how we feel. So here's the reason why. So that you may overflow with hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. Those three all go together, okay? We overflow. What we are filled with not only fills us, but overflows. So the more we walk in hope and overflow hope, this hope is going to be able to touch other people. When we share our testimony, if you need hope, I pray that we are overflowing with hope right now. So that if you're going through something, if you're being challenged with medical results, that our hope overflows. Because he is the God of hope. We overflow. If we are empty and dry, there's no overflowing. We need to be empty vessels first, removed all the garbage and all the negativity and all the criticism, everything and the worry and all of that. Release it all so that God can fill us with hope so that we can overflow. We do not want to overflow garbage. Too often, we're going through stuff and we overflow garbage. And we puke on people. Sickness and negativity. And critical natures and critical spirits and pour out garbage. And we overflow garbage. And so that the people that we're surrounded with are being affected by dirty, filthy garbage. We need to overflow hope, joy, peace, love. So that the people that we are coming in contact with, if I'm near you, brother, I want to be overflowing joy, peace, patience, kindness, all of the fruits of the Spirit, so that when I come in contact with you, it's touching you. I don't know where you might be dry, but we need to overflow with the gifts and the fruits of the Spirit so that we can fill other people. We overflow with hope. Psalm 23:5, you anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows. He is a God of filling to overflowing. He's not a God of just enough. Right? He is a God that fills us to overflowing. He says, I anoint your head with oil. And that's why these three go together. It's the power of the Holy Spirit in our lives. The symbol, that anointing, our head, that is the anointing of oil is a symbol of the Holy Spirit. He anoints our head with oil. Like the oil that flowed down Aaron's beard and down and down. He fills to overflowing by the power of his Holy Spirit. You have to get a hold of God through the power of his Holy Spirit and know beyond a shadow of doubt that that advocate that comes alongside of us, he is the one that's walking you through the valley and walking you up the mountaintop. He is the one. And so before we close today, I want to share a couple more scriptures. This is God's word. When you're going through stuff, life is in the pages of this book. It's not on TV. It's not in the latest self-help book. It's not in yoga. It's not in exercise. Life comes through this first. Psalm 9, verse 10. Those who know your name will trust in you. For you, Lord, have never forsaken those who seek you. Never forsaken those who seek you. Is there anyone here that's seeking the Lord today? Hallelujah. We seek the Lord while he may be found. He never forsakes those who seek after him. Psalm 56:3. When I am afraid, I will trust in you. I know that fear does not come from God. I know this. But it doesn't mean that I'm not human. It doesn't mean that I'm not tempted with fear. Because the enemy comes to seek, kill, and destroy. And so those doubts, those questions that I have, all of that comes from him. And he wants me to get off course with my God. But when I am afraid, when that junk comes in, I will trust in God. Psalm 84:12. O Lord Almighty, blessed is the man or woman or child trust in you. I believe that God has a plan and a purpose in all things, even if we don't like them. I believe that my daughter's going to be a missionary in the hospital. It's her heart's desire to go on this missions trip. But God has a different trip in mind for her. She's going to be in Boston and not New York City. And her life is a testimony of what God is continuing to do through her. I know she loves him. I know she wants to serve him. And I know that God is going to put her in a place where she can continue to touch lives, even in a time of difficulty, and for all of us. And that goes for you too, no matter what you're walking through. If it's difficulties in your relationship, if it's struggles at work, your finances, your health, do you trust in God? I trust in God. So I do want to make some time for you to pray this morning. Would you mind coming back up to play, Aaron? Oh, you're right there. You got her guitar? Hallelujah. You know what I'd like to do? I'd like to sing. Sometimes we don't have the words, and so we'll sing, and so we can pray before we close this morning. If we can go back to Oceans, is that all right? And specifically, I'm thinking about the bridge. Do you ever hear sometimes we pray for patience? Lord, give me patience. And normally what God does in that situation, yeah, is gives you that opportunity to learn patience. Thank you, Lord, for teaching me patience in this situation. It is you that brings the increase. Increase my faith, increase my patience. I know that in times where we might struggle in trust, we pray, God, please help us to trust you more. And you know that in that prayer, God oftentimes allows things to help you trust him more. It's like walking in the dark. You might not know the answer. You might not know the location of where you're going. But God is the light into our path. And so if we trust God in the darkness, he is that light. He is our guide. And so if you're seeking to trust him more this morning, I just pray maybe you just come to the altar this morning. I just want to encourage you. Maybe it's a small dose of faith that you need this morning. Faith is a mustard seed to be able to deal with something that's on your plate right now. And I just want to have a time before the Lord where you can come before him and sing and pray and just offer it up to him. Layton, could we go back to Spirit Lead Me? So the altars are open. Come before your Lord and offer it to him this morning. Hallelujah. We can build an altar in this place. I think about building an altar not only to worship, but continually building altars to where God is moved. God is healed. God is touched a life. God is transformed a life. A remembrance. And then we keep moving forward. That altar exists to remember what God has done, but we keep moving forward because God continues to transform, continues to heal, continues to touch a life. We don't stay in one place, but we walk it out. We walk it out in faith and in trust. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. If you just allow me to pray over you this morning, hallelujah, hallelujah, God. Thank you so much, God, for your guiding hand, Lord, that you call us upon the waters. And we step out. God, sometimes the only way to walk upon the waters is to get out of the boat. And so, Lord, we want to be water walkers today. We want to have faith, trust. We know, Lord, that when you call our name and we step out, that you are there. God, be with us today. As we fellowship at the Arell's home today, God, I pray, Lord, that that is a time of rejoicing in who you are, God, and what you're doing in this place as a local expression of your body, God. I pray, Lord, that it is a time of affirmation, refreshment, and making dear friends, Lord, to walk this journey together. And so, Lord, just bless us as we come and we go. Thank you for filling us to overflowing. Thank you, Lord, that your grace is sufficient. In Jesus' mighty name, amen. Amen.